Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Team Toby Positive Radio Show with your host, Charmaine Hammond. Join us each week as Charmaine and her Team Toby Pack improve lives by teaching kindness, acceptance, and respect. Our mission is to get listeners into the conversation about living a fulfilled, prosperous life through the unique and powerful animal-human bond. Be part of the team and lead the way of change. Find us on the web, Facebook, and YouTube at The Original Team Toby and on Twitter at Team Toby 2. Here's your host, Charmaine Hammond.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Positive Radio. It's Charmaine Hammond here, and of course, Toby the precious dog is always standing by waiting for an opportunity to jump into the interview. We're here tonight with a friend of mine who I haven't met for real, but we have met virtually through a group I love, and that is the Women and Pet Network. Our guest tonight is Denise Fleck, and she established Sunny Dog, Inc., and that is Inc. with a K, everybody, in 1999 to help people help their pets. Now, Denise has developed her own pet first aid and CPR curriculum, as well as classes in pet disaster preparedness, senior pet care, and 5-month-long animal care course for high school students in conjunction with the Burbank Unified School District. I just love that. To complement her teachings, Denise has also created a line of pet first aid kits, something we should all have in our car, I think, as well as posters and books for children teaching them animal respect and care in an entertaining format. And there's a lot more that's going to be coming down the tubes with Denise. She gave me a heads up on some exciting projects. You can pop on over to sunnydoginc.com, and remember, Inc. is with a K. Denise, welcome to the show.
It's Bow Wow. Wonderful to be here, Charmaine. Thank you for having me.
You are most welcome. For all of you joining us, we're talking to Denise Fleck, and she is in sunny California. And so I was just whining about how typically by now we are in California for the winter, but this time we are in the snow, and you don't want to know how cold it is here, Denise.
No, and I was whining to you how wimpy I am that I'm freezing in the sun, so yeah, I have no right.
No, you can't say that with us. So, you know, one of the questions I love asking our guests is, what inspired you to start Sunny Dog Inc.? I mean, your business has been around for a long time, and it's successful. What inspired you to start a business in the animal world?
Well, I was raised by a Great Dane. I think my parents were around too. But I've always had a love for dogs. But I, you know, went on a different path. I was actually a film studio publicist for many years, and I got a little tired feeding human egos and wanted to do something I hoped would make a difference. And at about that time, my yellow Labrador retriever, Sunny, woke up one morning, and she couldn't get off the floor. And when she tried, she literally let out blood-curdling screams that seemed to echo through the canyons around our house. Unbeknownst to us at the time, she had ruptured 3 discs in her spine. And, you know, it wasn't actually an injury. Like all of us, you know, sometimes we're born with things that just don't fit quite right, and over years and years of rubbing, suddenly there's a flare-up. Well, that's what happened with her. But to make a long story short, the house we were living in was in the hills, and it was literally 110 railroad tie steps from the ground where the car was to the house. Wow. So having, you know, like a 90-pound dog that couldn't move and was, you know, who normally complained about nothing, it was disconcerting. Mm-hmm. My vet didn't make house calls, but he knew I wasn't crying wolf, no pun intended on that one. So, you know, he sent a vet tech to our house. We got Sunny on a stretcher, and after surgery, she bounced back to her fun-loving self. Mm. But I just never again wanted to be caught unprepared when, you know, one of my furry kids was in pain, because, you know, they can't explain to us, and we can't explain to them.
Exactly.
So, you know, it was just fate that I heard that they were starting to train people in pet first aid and CPR, and I jumped on the bandwagon and have trained with 8 national organizations since. I've done 13 years worth of rescue work, which, you know, increased my skills.
Right.
And you know, I've written for magazines. Each one of my dogs has given me something else. Sunny sent me on the first aid path. Then I had an Akita named Sushi, and when she passed, I wrote a story about her that a magazine picked up. So that sent me on writing my magazines. Mm-hmm. Then I had a black lab later on who I would take on my first aid demonstrations, and he would literally lick lick a smile onto a kid's face.
Oh.
So he sent me, you know, into my children's book writing journey. So it's just, you know, been amazing how dogs bring me so much, and cats and other animals too. But,
yeah.
I will admit I'm, you know, a big dog person. So for most of my life, I haven't had too many kitties around because they would have unfortunately been hors d'oeuvres with some of my cat, you know. So, but they've all given me something and sent me on a different path, and I'm just anxious to see where they're going to take me next.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more about how our pets become our inspiration. Same experience for me in a sense that I hadn't planned on being an author, and our dog Toby Sr. gave us so much to write about. It was like he kept nudging me saying, I'm giving you content. Write a book. I'm destroying your house. You should write a book. I'm teaching you lessons. Write a book. And one day I thought, wow, I should write a book.
People talk about having muses or something for inspiration, and I think our dogs, you know, fit that bill.
Isn't that the truth? They're great teachers. You know, I couldn't wait to get you on the show, Denise, because talking about pet first aid is so important. And one of the most terrifying experiences I ever had, in fact, I wrote about it in our book On Toby's Terms because I wanted everybody to know how dangerous a stick could be for a dog. And our dog injured himself. He was playing fetch and injured his throat very seriously, and we weren't sure originally if Toby was going to make it or not. And the whole concept of being able to help your dog immediately in the dog park, you know, where you're not right next to a veterinarian, it's scary, and people don't know what to do. And I kind of went on a mission that I want to educate people around how dangerous a seemingly harmless stick can actually be for a dog. And then now the importance of first aid to be able to be prepared to deal with that or any other injury that could happen. So when you think about pet first aid, Denise, how would you describe that to our listeners? What is it?
Well, I'm glad you had a happily ever after, but you're right. Some people don't. And I'm not by any means training people to be veterinarians. Veterinarians mm-hmm. are absolutely the experts. But like you mentioned, in the dog park or even at home, most of us don't have a veterinarian Velcroed to our hips 24/7.
Exactly.
You know, and even if you live with 10 people in your house, it's Murphy's Law that the dog is going to get hurt after veterinary hours and generally when you're home alone, so you don't even have somebody to drive
mm-hmm.
or care. So you need to know what to do at the time an emergency happens to minimize the injury and hopefully also lessen the pain and suffering. And that's what first aid is. It's the first and immediate thing we do when an animal is sick or injured to make him feel better. I often think of it as like a kid who falls off the swing. Mm-hmm. When you skin your knee, mom washes it off, put a bandage and a kiss on it. But as long as you don't pick at the scab or it doesn't become infected, that was her first aid, that wound care.
Right.
But when you get a little bit older and you fall off a bicycle or a skateboard and come in with an arm just throbbing in pain, maybe mom once again comes to the rescue and rips up a sheet or grabs a scarf to make a temporary sling. Maybe she goes to the freezer and grabs some ice or a bag of frozen mixed vegetables to put on it, you know, to diminish some of
mm-hmm.
that pain and swelling. But most likely in that case, you're in the car on the way to the doctor, you know, to get it x-rayed or put in a cast. And the same thing applies to our pets. Sometimes we can watch them, you know, fix them, watch them, and make them, you know, make sure they're better. But other times we're just going to do that initial treatment, which can mean anything from stopping bleeding so the animal doesn't bleed out on the way to the vet.
Right.
You know, taking down the swelling from a bee sting, lowering body temperature so the brain doesn't swell, alleviating choking so the animal doesn't go unconscious, and in the worst case scenarios, actually administering rescue breathing and CPR. Now, CPR, which is now actually being called CPCR, there's a second C in there for cerebral, meaning we want to get blood and oxygen to the brain as well. And no matter what you call it, though, CPR or CPCR, it's not a cure, whether it's for an animal or a person. It's a means to keep the body alive and keep that life-giving blood and oxygen flowing to all the tissues. Because
right.
by doing by doing CPR, you haven't administered antidote for poison. You haven't performed surgery to stop bleeding. You haven't cured a disease. But if you can keep that animal alive and keep the organs and tissues viable, by the time you get to the veterinarian who has the skills and expertise, they can administer the antidote, can perform the surgery, or can cure the disease. So it really makes a difference knowing these things and then also having the right tools at your fingertips to help your furry best friend.
Yes. Well, I remember when Toby had that incident at the dog park with the stick. One of the things that I remember struggling with was he later got up and was playing with the dog, so appeared to be fine. And then I remember thinking, well, maybe he's in shock. So how helpful is that for us to be able to know what a dog or a cat looks like and acts like when they're in shock, so that we know this is time to get immediate help? And, I mean, that's what we did. But, you know, there's so many myths and rumors out there for people. One of them I hear all the time, you know, give your dog aspirin to calm them down in a thunderstorm, and then vets say don't give your dog an aspirin. And, you know, I hear people all the time trying to wrestle with, what do you do?
Well, I guess, like, you know, anything in life, there's all kinds of differing opinions. And, you know, knowledge is power. The more you learn, the better you can make, you know, educated decisions to help your pet. And, you know, it's just, you really kind of hit the nail on the head about, you know, being able to identify if shock. What I tell people to do is I really start them off by doing a weekly head-to-tail checkup of their pet. Mm. I want them to get to know their pet, to tune into their pet. We all love our dogs. We brush them. We hug them. Mm-hmm. But you know, has everybody really felt their pet all over and really knows the idiosyncrasies of their body? I have had a student a few years back who was trying to remove a tick off the abdomen of his male dog's body, not realizing male dogs also have nipples.
Oh.
So my point exactly, I want you to start off really getting to know what's supposed to be on your pet, what he feels like, because then you can more quickly determine when he's acting a little different, if you feel a lump or a bump or something along those lines. But also in relation to that, I teach everybody to check vitals on your pet, check their breathing, check their pulse. Do you know where to check the pulse on a dog? It's not the same as on a human. We check it at the femoral artery inside the hind leg and the thigh. For shock, capillary refill time, it goes under our medical acronym CRT, but we want to, that's how we tell the circulation on a pet. And basically we check it at the gums. You can look at the gums. If the gums are pale or blue or gray, you know there's a problem. But what we actually do with the fleshy part of our finger is press on the gums above the dog's teeth until it turns white or lighten it, and then when we release that pressure, we want to see the color come back in 2 seconds or less. It's probably something most humans have done on their own fingernail before, same type thing. Exactly, but we do it on the gum with our pet, and it really will let us know if we need to increase circulation and get that pet to the vet quickly. Because like you mentioned, sometimes you don't know, an animal will get back up. That's one of my biggest concerns. People will see a dog get hit by a car and he takes off running and thinks he's fine. Unfortunately not. You know, big car, small dog, or even big dog, you know which generally wins that case. So there can be internal injuries, but like with us humans sometimes, we'll jump up real quick on adrenaline and then realize we really have a problem. So it's important to tune in. I mean, that's like the most important thing, other than spending quality time with your animals, tuning into them, really, you know, knowing what's normal for them so you can more quickly determine what's not normal and get the help you need.
Well, these are great tips. Everyone, we are talking to Denise Fleck. Her business is Sunny Dog Inc., and that's Inc. with a K, website sunnydoginc.com. So it sounds like having a pet first aid kit is critical for us all to be able to have that, to be able to respond to injuries and lessen the impact until we can get our dog medical help. And pet first aid classes are another great idea for families.
I seriously think you should have what I call your pet's toolkit, because a lot of the things in a kit you may have, but if when your pet's injured, you're running upstairs to the bathroom for the bandages or looking in this cupboard for the hydrogen peroxide or whatever you're needing, you're wasting precious time that you could actually be helping your pet.
Yes.
But once you've assembled one, I think it's imperative that you, you know, keep up with it. If you use something, you have to replace it. If it expires, you have to get another one. Just you always want to have it well equipped and ready to go so you can help your friend in need.
Love that idea. Love that. Now, Denise, you also have some super cool projects coming up. One of them is a GoFundMe project, and the other one is a children's book. Tell us a little bit more about the other exciting projects that you have going on.
Thank you. I'd love to. Well, you know, centuries ago, artists of all forms went in search of patrons to help them because, you know, us humans can't always do everything on our own. You know, I do really think I'm learning more and more as I go through life that although I may believe in a cause, if others also believe, if I get them to believe and support me and champion me, we kind of amplify our efforts to help animals. So that's what I'm doing with my GoFundMe campaign, and it's actually entitled Pets Are Part of the Family, because I strongly believe that.
Yep, they are. I agree. Woohoo!
So since they are part of the family, we must, you know, care for them and be prepared to help them just like we would any other member of the family. So the first part of my GoFundMe campaign is about encouraging and attracting the attention of a major car company somebody out there to start including my travel dog first aid kit as part of their pet-friendly package in vehicles so that even on the road, you know, Fido can be helped until we find our way to a veterinarian.
Love that. What a great idea.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's important that we can take care of our pets at home, but especially with our dogs. They have more of a luxury of going with us than cats do on adventures. We need to be able to help them, too, because like you mentioned, it's at the dog park or on a hike or, you know, somewhere else often that things can happen as well. And often then we're not, you know, close to our regular veterinarian.
Exactly.
So we're going to need to buy ourselves some time by helping them in the meantime. So that's the first part of my GoFundMe campaign. The second part is that I just want to remind people and really create awareness that no matter what color, age, shape, size, breed, ability a dog or a cat or an animal of any type possesses, they're all deserving of love. Mm-hmm. So I've written the children's book entitled Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover, which is about a young girl wanting to get that, you know, cute little puppy from the pet store with the pink bow on it, but gets encouraged by her family to adopt a senior lab from a shelter. And I'd like to take that to the next step by creating a line of plush toys that are old dogs or senior cats. Eventually, you know, a three-legged cat or whoever the characters are that appear in the sequels to the book. But my hope is that by getting, you know, children, and when I say children, I mean from 0 to 99 because there's a child in all of us. If we cuddle an older, you know, plush toy, maybe that will transcend to the real thing and more people will think about adopting, you know, the older pets that still have so much life and love to give that are in our shelters.
Yes. I love that message. You know, when we adopted Toby Sr., he was 5 when we brought him home to be in our forever family. And I remember thinking when we brought Toby Jr. home, Chris and I both said, oh, you know, maybe we'll get a younger dog. And then immediately we thought, oh, you know, it was so nice to bring a dog into our family that had some training that was going to be able to travel with us. So Toby Jr. was just over a year. Well, actually, he celebrated his year birthday the week we adopted him. But I love the message of adopting older dogs because we had such an amazing experience with Toby, and he was 5 years old. And although looking at him and being with him, you'd think he was still a puppy when he was 10. But
well, exactly.
They really do.
As I can tell, you know, I mean, they're really appreciative. They already, you know some of their manners, and they know their house training. Puppies and kittens are adorable, but my gosh, they're a lot of work, Charmaine. You know, an older pet is content to just look at you with those enduring eyes and have you, you know, reach down and pet them, you know, go for a gentle walk. But like you said, some of them, too, I have an Akita who's about 13 right now, Bonsai, and there are times she's totally puppy-like. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds. And, you know, you've saved a life and, you know, really made those golden years golden.
Exactly. Such an important message. I'm glad that you're sharing that with the world. Where do people find out about your GoFundMe campaigns?
They can go to GoFundMe.com, and it's actually /66SSPO, but an easier way to do it is just go to GoFundMe.com, and in the little search bar, put Pets Are Part of the Family.
Okay, Pets Are Part of the Family, and I'll put that in our blog so people can easily find that. Denise, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show to talk about an important topic that we haven't had on the show before, pet first aid. I love that you've mentioned the importance of pet first aid classes, pet first aid kits. I mean, you have put together a kit. Can people get those through your website?
They absolutely can. I have 4 different ones, a super duper one for our kitty cat friend, and 3 different ones to choose from for dogs.
Wonderful. And they are at the website, folks, sunnydoginc.com. And Denise Fleck was our guest from Sunny Dog Inc. Wow, Denise, this was a great conversation. I can't wait to have you on the show again.
Love to come back. It was awesome possum.
And thank you for what you're doing to make such a positive difference in the world for not only our animals but our human friends. I appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you. They've done so much for me.
Couldn't agree more. I feel the same way.
I love Denise's message about how animals inspire us and how much they do for us. And I was thinking this week how much I've learned about communication from our dog, Toby. We're training him right now to potograph books. That's right, folks, potographing books. And what I've noticed is that communication with animals requires such clarity and consistency. So, for example, when I was working with Toby around the potographing, Chris, my husband, was super clear and always used the same word when he would touch the spring-loaded stamp that he wanted Toby to put his paw on. Chris would say, "Toby, tap," and then he would tap his hand on the stamp. Well, I come down and get involved, get caught up in the excitement. And, of course, I went from, Toby, tap it here, tap it here. And so he's looking at me and not knowing what to do. And it, just in that moment, I thought, oh, I remember. Communication has got to be so clear and so consistent with our animals. And then I thought, how do we take that into the workplace and into our volunteer jobs? And communication at work, it's the same thing for people. We require clarity and, to some degree, simplicity around the messages that we share with other people so that they can understand us, they can engage in the conversation, and if it's about a conflict, so that we can resolve the conflict. And a couple of years ago, I started using the words clean, drama-free communication. For about 20 years, I've been teaching conflict resolution in the workplace. I've been teaching courageous dialogue, which is about problem solving and those tough, awkward conversations. And I've been having that training program going on for years and years. I speak about it as a professional speaker at conferences, and I've mentored people through some of their toughest conversations. And what it really boils down to, folks, is being able to communicate with simplicity, with clarity, and with cleanness. I mean, no drama. Really, that's what's important for us when we want to have communication that really counts and resolves issues. And when I was thinking about that and watching Chris training Toby, I thought, you know, it's the same thing. When we want our pets to be successful, let's use that clean, non-emotional language. And it really worked. In no time at all, Toby was tapping his paw on the stamp and, of course, barking with excitement because he knows that he had done what he'd been asked to do. And we were having so much fun. I'm sure he got caught up in the emotion. And I got thinking, that's great when it's positive emotion. Imagine when we're in the workplace or in our volunteer jobs, how easily we can get caught up in that negative emotion. That happens all the time as a facilitator that goes into workplaces to do team building, which is one of the things I love to do. I see that all the time, that history and drama and emotion just catches up with us, and it really impacts our ability to communicate cleanly, to communicate clearly, and to have those conversations that matter most and are mostly avoided. So let's take a few lessons we learned from the pups around communication. It's got to be clear. It's got to be consistent. It's got to have no drama in it. And, you know, it's got to be integral. one of the things that I know from working with our dog, Toby, and I'm not a dog trainer, folks, so I am convinced that dog training is actually for the human, not for the dog. But I'm learning so much that we can transfer into our human life, into our personal relationships, our marriages, our friendships, and our workplaces. And when our nonverbal communication matches our verbal message, our verbal communication, it's so much easier for the other person to understand what it is we're saying and what it is we're asking. So aren't our pets incredible teachers? Don't they help us live a better life? That was my great lesson from Toby Jr. this week. Please make sure that you share your comments and stay in touch with us. I want to give a special shout out tonight to a few people. Dog Works Radio, Robert and Michelle, we so appreciate you guys airing Positive Radio on Dog Works Radio. We love collaborating with you, and of course, I've so enjoyed being a guest on your show, so thank you for helping us get our message and our guests out to your world. And I also want to thank two businesses that have made such a difference in our Team Toby world. And that is Atlanta Photography, Bonnie Jean, and Diana Bowes with Creative on the Move. Bonnie Jean is our photographer, and she just does such exquisite work at capturing Toby's emotion, his personality, and bringing that to life through photography. And we have so enjoyed, I got to tell you, our photo shoot with Bonnie Jean was a hoot. We had a great time, but she was able to capture these images that have helped us share Toby with the world. And Diana Bowes is such an exquisite designer. She's helped us carry our message out there through her design work and her graphics and through her ability to just take a lot of complex information and make it so easy to read, so easy on the eye. So we appreciate you guys as our sponsors, and I just wanted to say thank you. And we want to hear your comments around lessons you've learned from a pet. Doesn't matter how crazy it sounds, we want to hear it. Please post your comments on our Facebook page, which is The Original Team Toby. If you want to do that on Twitter, our Twitter handle is Team Toby. Toby is T-O-B-Y. Team Toby and the number 2 on Twitter. And then, of course, our Facebook page is theoriginalteamtoby.com. So appreciate you all being with us tonight and following our show. Loved our guest, Denise Fleck. I can't wait to start learning how to do first aid so that I know I will always be prepared if something should happen. And really appreciate the messages that Denise shared with us about the importance of taking care of our pets and being prepared should something occur in the dog park or in the training grounds. And that was Denise Fleck that we talked to earlier. I want to thank you all for being here, and we'll be back next week, same Toby time, same Toby place on Positive Radio. Until next week, let's be kind to one another.